الكامل مع
الأمريكيين. The news triggered the war, the bloody war between Saudi Arabia and Yemen. Saudi fighter jets bombarded many cities throughout Yemen. Only one person was behind Saudi Arabia's decisions, Mohammed bin Salman, known as MBS, after close coordination with the U.S. During his eight-year presidential term, Barack Obama sold over $112 billion worth of weapons to Riyadh. Did the Americans know the Saudi funds are spent for extremist groups like Al-Qaeda, who were seemingly rejected by the U.S.? They definitely did know, but it's a little too complicated. Intelligence agencies do not consider any group inherently good or bad. It depends on their interests. As long as Takfiri outfits do not threaten U.S. interests or soil, they won't be harmed. If they meet U.S. needs in West Asia, why wouldn't Washington use them to its own advantage? Especially when their victims are not Americans. Al-Qaeda established its group in Yemen named Jazirat al-Arab in 2009, a year before the revolution in Yemen. It was in fact the Al-Qaeda branch in Yemen and Saudi Arabia. That was the time the U.S. presence in Yemen had become stronger. Saudi support of these groups that had so far been covert became overt. When the war started in Yemen, Al-Qaeda got into a battle against the Ansarullah. That was how the stage was set. The U.S. is the director, and Saudi Arabia wants to be the main actor and had gotten countries like the UAE on board for secondary roles. It wasn't clear if the Emiratis were satisfied with their secondary role, and they chose Ansarullah and the Yemeni people to play the antagonist. This is a show that had just started.
Food for thought.
Salam, dear listeners, and heartiest felicitations to you on the occasion of Mubahale, the day on which Islam triumphed in a memorable debate with the Christians, when, as commanded by God, the Prophet took his immediate family, the Ahlul Bayt, that is, daughter Hazrat Fatima, son-in-law Imam Ali, and grandsons Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, peace upon them, to the appointed place to prove that Jesus was a prophet and not the Son of God as alleged, since God is too glorious to have such human attributes as the need of son, wife, or children. Here is a famous saying from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The likeness of my Ahlul Bayt is that of the Ark of Noah. Whoever boards it is safe, and whosoever stays behind is drowned.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Thank you.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints. You are listening to analysis on the most important events taking place in the Islamic calendar. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Rouhani and Sayyid Alavi. Sayyid Alavi, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to
you. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My salams to you and the dear audience. Thank you for having me here.
You're welcome. And Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much.
A very fascinating and controversial topic for today's discussion, and that is plastic surgery or aesthetic surgery, whether it is allowed in the religion of Islam or not. Sheikh Rouhani, let's start with you as a sheikh. What's your opinion on this specific point?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, I should not share here my own opinion.
Okay.
I should refer to the ulama, the
maraja. As a representative of a maraja,
yeah,
or
as a followers,
okay. Yes.
Of maraja. According to the maraja, it is itself, by itself, there's no problem. You know,
okay.
I mean, plastic surgery itself is allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So if it leads to some sins,
mm-hmm,
or gunah or ma'asiyah,
okay,
then, of course, in that case, as a secondary kind of issue, it would become haram and forbidden.
Okay.
For example, let me give you this example. For example, if a lady,
mm-hmm,
refers to a doctor and reveals, for example, his body to the doctor.
Okay.
So since that doctor is not, stranger or not mahram, we can say.
Okay.
He's not mahram. So in this case, this kind of surgery is haram.
It's
forbidden.
Haram.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's prohibited. But if not, if, for example, a woman wants to beautify herself,
okay,
for her husband,
okay,
so, and he refers to, for example, some women doctor,
okay,
and do this,
okay,
and there's no problem with that.
So the problem is with the philosophy of the beautification of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Is it at all, preferable to beautify yourself, I mean your body, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you? He knows the best about his creation, isn't it? So he has the absolute knowledge. He is the omnipotent. He has the power. So he created you with this shape and physicality. Why doing cosmetic surgery?
And
to make yourself more beautiful?
Yeah, when it comes to the process of the creation, you, uh-huh, see, when something happens in nature, yeah,
okay,
and it happens in its own natural way.
Okay.
So you are there, your parents are there, what do you eat, yeah, the foods are,
okay,
there, the surroundings are there,
that's
environments,
right,
are there. Different things have their own roles in the creation of a person. So sometimes something may go wrong.
I'm not satisfied, for example, with my nose.
See?
Is this going wrong?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. Because in nature, it happens. You know, when we say...
We are not talking about, for example, 10% specific points. For example, the children that are formed with, for example, deformity or defects, they need reconstructive surgery or something like that. Okay, we are okay about that. But what about the philosophy of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? According to religion, because,
mm-hmm,
you are the representative of a religion over here in our studio, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you with this body, your parents too. And your parents did not have the chance of doing the surgery because this is a modern invention, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
A modern innovation of doing a surgery. Okay, if you got a defect in your breathing, your nose impairments or body impairment, okay, you are allowed to do that. Also Islam. But what about, for example, the cases that are necessary? Isn't it israf of the money, israf of the waqt? You, as the ashrafa makhlugat, the best creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, were born in order to do surgery or cosmetic surgery?
You know, let me tell you that, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most, let's say, beneficent, the most merciful, yeah? Gracious,
yes,
to the mankind.
Yes, yes, for sure.
And of course, He absolutely wants to make us, to create us in the most perfect way.
Okay.
There's no doubt about that.
Uh-huh.
But the problem is, as I told you, in this process of the creation, many other things has also their own roles in nature. You see, for example, let me give you this example. Imam Jawad alayhi salatu wasalam.
Okay.
His hair and his face, the form of face, the skin, was a bit different from Imam Ridha alayhi salam. I mean, some people doubted that whether he is son of Imam or not. See, you know the story.
Okay, yes, yes.
So can we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want to create Imam Jawad alayhi salam in the most perfect body? Of course.
Mm-hmm.
But since mother of Imam Jawad was a servant, so of course
the female maid, that's
female,
why
the mother was different.
Yeah, okay.
She had a different skin,
linking to a specific ethnicity.
And she was from Africa.
Yeah, from Sudan, Africa. That's right. Okay.
Yeah, this is the point.
So he had a more colored.
That's it. So now the question is: here, can we say that Imam Ridha was perfect and Imam Jawad was not perfect? No, of course both of them were perfect. All of them
very
are perfect.
Good.
Yeah.
Now we got to this point. Mm-hmm. What is the meaning of perfection? Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the human beings to be perfected.
Mm-hmm.
But does cosmetic surgery necessarily get into perfection meant by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
You know, we should. I wanted to add a very, very key point here.
Okay.
That is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does everything in this world in its most perfect possible way.
Mm-hmm.
We should not forget the possibility.
Okay.
What is possible that would be done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
That's right.
So sometimes the possibility is important. You know, for example, if your mother and father, they are, for example, from Africa.
Yes.
So this the possibility of this child is to be like Africans. You see?
100%.
So, of course. Okay. So we should not expect these parents to give birth to a child like, for example, other people. Yeah, whites.
Okay.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create us in the most perfect possible way.
Mm-hmm.
The possibility should be there.
Yes.
So that's why sometimes you are free, you are allowed from the Sharia perspective.
Okay.
That if you're dissatisfied with your appearance and you commit no sin if you do some surgeries.
Okay.
So Maraja says that you are allowed.
Okay.
Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you.
Yes.
So it is permissible. And you know what was your question?
Yeah. Can I add some points?
Okay, Sayyid Alavi, let's get to the scene, man. What's your point?
Can I add some points to what our dear Sheikh said?
Yes.
Because I'm with him here.
Okay.
I'm in the same boat with the Sheikh.
Okay.
But your approach was a little bit harsh. And
I'm not against surgery or something like that. I do want to say, cosmetic surgery is a modern innovation.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So during the history of the human beings, it was not tested.
Right.
Or something
but it is
like
it is like saying that I'm against gene modification.
Okay.
Am I against
for gene, the improvement of the body is necessary.
Gene modification in food. Am I against gene modification in urban society and how we build our nature in a city, in a municipality? So I'm against gene modification. Am I or am I not? Because we have it.
Okay.
We are doing, when we build a city or an area of a city, we are touching nature. Mother nature,
right?
Gene
engineering, that's right.
Right.
Okay.
Gene, exactly.
Okay.
Or it's like saying, look, Allah has created me perfect. Then after I'm done with my food, why should I take supplements, vitamins, multivitamins, calcium, magnesium, and so on, D vitamins, and so on and so forth.
To live more,
Omega-3, and I'm making a lot of advertisement here.
Okay.
Why should I take those supplements? What all doctors say, and I don't know about all, but according to my research, it is strongly recommended that after you're done with your food, you take supplements because the body requires that. Not all those supplements are in your food.
Again, Sayyid, we are getting into the bodily aspect of this type of surgery. You know, we are still talking about the body.
Right, I just gave those examples to come back to the surgery.
Okay, 100 years from now, the people were not used to getting vitamins or supplements or the pills, and they aged
but
more
does
than
not mean that
they
we
aged
should
more than today's generation.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Okay.
I mean, the age we have today
is much higher than
what our ancestors lived like.
No. Let me give you good examples.
Area in West Asia or the level of age in Europe, what is much higher now than in
the
past.
Sorry, let me give
but
you.
But when it comes to natural food, it was better in the past.
The natural food and also aging. Let me give you a best examples about the ulama, the Shia ulama that lived in Najaf and Qom, okay?
Even today.
When you go to, because the lifestyle is without supplement, you know, when you go to the lifestyle, you do not see such things. Maybe the meaning
that,
of Sheikh. Perfection, sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe the meaning of perfection has changed. It is because of the effects of the philosophy of the modern world, isn't it?
Now we're jumping a little bit back and forth. Okay, we need to concentrate a little bit. Now you mentioned the ulama, some of the ulama.
Yes.
You mentioned the maraji. Now we're becoming more and more specific.
Yes.
So it's not everyone.
Okay.
Number one. Number two, they have a specific lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know about the supplements that you mentioned. They might take it today. And they didn't in the past, but they might take it today.
Okay.
But the most important is that it doesn't matter how much supplements I take when I don't have a good lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
It won't help you. So we shouldn't focus on one dimension.
Okay.
I just mentioned those dimensions as a whole of a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
The holistic perspective should be taken into consideration.
Okay.
Now, coming back, when we look at the average level of life, people live longer today. Mm-hmm. Okay, but now going back to surgery.
To the cosmetic surgery, that's right.
Cosmetic surgery. So I'm with the Sheikh here that, yes, Allah creates everything in perfection, but then you have other denominators gathering.
Okay.
And then you becoming produced. And then you have, for example, lines. Yeah, you mentioned, for example, nose
so
prior to
the
program. But lines about on your forehead.
What's wrong with the lines?
It's nothing wrong, but can you make yourself prettier like you were when you were 22?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with doing what we call buttocks? You
cannot laugh.
You inject that liquid. So those lines, for people who have a lot of lines on their forehead, they become... They get the same forehead as almost the same as when they were 22.
Okay.
What's wrong with that? And I'm specifically addressing scholars here, okay? We study a lot. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong. What about hair plantation? Or what do you call it? Hair implants?
Yeah, hair implants, that's
right. Hair implants. What's wrong
with
that? That's a medical thing. What's wrong with that? That's completely all right.
Well,
what about the psychological perspective?
Let me say what's the problem. The problem is...
Yes. The
problem is that we are shifting our focus from intellect,
right,
from spirit to the body.
All right, I'm with you. Why not having both of them? Zahir wal batin. Zahir wal batin. The exterior and the interior.
You know,
the outer and the inner. Why not have both?
Okay.
Huwa al-awwal wal akhir.
Brother, listen.
Right.
Listen. Shifting the focus from the intellect and spirituality
into
the body is absolutely wrong, according
to
my opinion.
It should be the inner aspect first.
The case is that the bodily and the physical beauty will overshadow your intellect.
Mm.
Even those people who say, for example, are intellectuals or scholars or philosophers, according to my opinion, most of them, they do not do that, even in the Western culture, okay?
Right.
They do not do that because their value and their value system is very much different.
Right.
But maybe when you got, for example, to the actors, actresses, even politicians, including Mark today, they do that. Why? Because they believe in the face value and not the faith value, okay? F-A-I-T-H.
Right.
Now, which one is more important?
No,
face
without
value
doubt.
Or faith value?
I don't think anyone in the studio, not me and not our dear Sheikh, would oppose you in that aspect. Everyone would say that the inner dimension, the intellectual dimension, is far more important than the outer.
And day by day.
But does that mean that we should forget the outer?
Sorry, Sheikh.
Yes.
But day by day, it's becoming complicated. It started at the very beginning with the nose surgery, rhinoplasty.
Now you have lips, now you have eyelashes.
Now we have lips, we have breasts, we have buttocks. We have the private parts, cosmetic surgery, okay?
Right.
So this is the body.
Right.
As long as you go on, you will start with the body. So today, okay, let's do the liposuction. Tomorrow, let's
We shouldn't exaggerate. We should not exaggerate, and we should fix our culture.
This is what the bodily value does with you, brother.
We should fix our culture. We should teach our people about the philosophy, okay? The philosophy is very important, very good.
Okay.
But after, and we mentioned the intellectual dimension, very good. But as I said, I mentioned the hair implant, the lines of your forehead, and even psychological dimensions. We live in a society, after all.
What about the psychology?
In a certain age, to when you were a little bit bigger.
Okay.
It was seen as attractive.
Okay, that's all right. Okay, thank you much, Sheikh.
Thank you.
And Said Alevi for your presence in the program talking about the cosmetic surgery and what is the real meaning of beauty. Thank you very much. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners. Fi amanallah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Iran's city of Rafsanjan has hosted an international talent contest dubbed Stage Stars. The event is aimed at providing a chance for stage talents from across the world to come in the spotlight. Yusuf Jalali reports from Rafsanjan. Let's check it out.
This is a global stage for talents. The 5th International Stage Stars Festival wrapped up with the announcement of winners, who have been competing in 4 categories of singing, voice acting, show hosting, and sound impression. The top performances from each category won the golden mic and a cash prize.
The festival was a place for more serious competition between those who have a say in a stage performance. I'm so happy to be chosen by the jury as the best show host of the contest.
It was an amazing event for talents. I'm so glad to be part of this. Talents from all across Iran and many parts of the world competed in the festival, so winners should be proud of themselves.
Held in Iran's city of Rafsanjan, the 2-day event brought together participants from 14 countries, including Iran, Afghanistan, Kyrgyzstan, Nigeria, and Turkey, to flaunt their knack for stage performance.
The scale of this contest is global. Many of us participants did not have any idea we could be stand-up comedians or show hosts. But when we got on stage here, we ourselves discovered our own talents.
I really love that, seeing that all people around the world are coming here and presenting themselves. It's a very great feeling. Of course, they will be progressed and they will develop yourself when they will get the result.
The jury is comprised of top Iranian actors, TV presenters, and voice artists. They say the competition has been tough, and those who stood out are real stage stars.
We tried our best to pick talents who really acted like professionals on stage. Not only should they care about the standards and principles of a stage performance, but they must innovate, improvise, and stand out.
This festival acted like a university for stage talents. It taught a lot of lessons about the stage to participants, especially for those who failed to win the contest.
Organizers say this contest is not just about scouting for stage talents. They say the event helps shine a spotlight on talents and lead them to their community.
The fifth Stage Stars Festival is aimed at bringing stage talents to light. Many of the participants already have a few years of experience, so this stage is not supposed to discover them, but to springboard them to a higher level in their careers.
All of the contestants, even those who come from foreign countries, must perform in Persian. However, organizers plan to include other languages in the upcoming editions of the festival.
To those who won the golden mic here, this is a dream come true. But they say, aside from the prize, Stage Stars has marked a milestone in their pursuit of success, since they have now come under the spotlight. Yusuf Jalali from the city of Rafsanjan.
Age is just a number when it comes to pursuing your goals. That's what 98-year-old Italian man Giuseppe Paterno has proven. Paterno has become the oldest university graduate in his country for the second time. In July 2020, he was graduated in history and philosophy from the University of Palermo. 2 years on, he's now got a master's degree in the same subject. Paterno grew in a poor family in Sicily and always had a desire for learning. But he was unable to go to university at a young age. He finished high school aged 31, 6 years after he got married. Paterno's love to study or for study never stopped, making him enter the university in his 90s.
Geologists are rejoicing over a new discovery. A 290-million-old fossil forest has accidentally been found in southern Brazil. A team of geologists had been sent to the state of Paraná to investigate the rocks there. To their surprise, they were able to find over 160 logs of lycophytes, an extinct variety of the vascular plant subgroup. It's quite rare occurrence that a large number of fossils of the plant were found preserved in upright position for such a long time. The forest itself was discovered in 2018 when a street was being constructed over there. So far, only two other similar collections have been found in smaller forest areas of Brazil and Argentina. Summer heat is here, and zoos are working to not only keep visitors cool, but animals safe during the hot weather. A Belgian zoo takes extra precautions to help animals survive a fierce heat wave that has left Western Europe sweltering. Pairi d'Aiza Zoo, located in Wallonia in the province of Hainaut, provides animals with frozen food, fruit suspended in water, and extra showers. It has also created extra shaded areas with good ventilation along with water points to ensure animals have access to them. Zookeepers say managing animals in high temperatures requires good forward planning. Zoos across the world have a variety of responses to keep animals cool. So we humans are not the only creatures who feel significant stress during the hot months. Animals, too, are impacted by it.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The biggest and brightest supermoon of 2022 has risen with a crimson hue above horizons across the globe. It's also known as a buck moon because it falls in July. The name does not come from its appearance. You won't see the shape of a deer on the moon's surface or anything. It refers to something that happens in nature at this time. It's called a buck moon because the antlers of male deer or bucks are in full growth in July. Supermoons occur when a full moon comes closest to Earth in its orbit. This is not the last supermoon of 2022. There will be another in August, marking the final supermoon in this year's set of four. Some rescue stories are tragic, but this one has a happy ending. A stranded elephant and her calf have been pulled out of a drainage hole in a dramatic rescue mission during monsoon rains in Thailand. The mother elephant was guarding her calf that had fallen into a golf course drain hole when rescuers arrived. Vets had to use tranquilizers to subdue the frantic mother, but on her way down, she hit her head on a concrete block, knocking her unconscious as she fell into the muddy cavity. Rescuers used a crane to lift her out. It took two men jumping up and down on her chest to resuscitate her. Meanwhile, a digger was brought in to move the muddy earth and create a ramp for the calf to climb out. It took the team more than 3 hours to finish the operation. During a routine X-ray examination of one of Van Gogh's paintings, art conservators at the National Galleries of Scotland have discovered a secret self-portrait.
When we saw the X-ray for the first time, of course, we were hugely excited, absolutely thrilled to bits. Such a major discovery of an alternative composition happens once, twice in a conservator's lifetime.
The self-portrait was found during an examination of an 1885 painting by Van Gogh as the museum was prepping for an upcoming exhibition on Impressionism. Hidden from view for over a century, the self-portrait is on the reverse side of the Dutch artist's painting called The Head of a Peasant Woman. It was found beneath cardboard and layers of glue. Van Gogh is known to have often reused his canvases, working on their reverse side as well.
When he took the painting to Paris, he didn't have very much money. He was scrabbling around and decided clearly to use the back of these series of paintings that he'd brought with him from the Netherlands to Paris to explore self-portraiture for the first time.
Experts at the museum believe the materials covering the self-portrait were applied in the early 20th century before the art went on display. Art historians say when Vincent van Gogh was low on money, he took to painting on both sides of his canvases, but over the years, some of his reverse side paintings were covered up and lost. The X-ray image will feature at the Royal Scottish Academy in Edinburgh starting in July.
Children in Qatar are helping a conservation program revive the population of a critically endangered species of turtles. The children help release the baby turtles after they hatch, which usually takes place during the dark hours of the evening. The hawksbill mothers are cared for, if needed, when they arrive at the beach to lay their eggs. When the little turtles emerge, the weaker ones are taken to facilities at the foundation. There they are cared for until they are strong enough to be returned to sea. Program managers say getting children involved helps raise awareness about the endangered species and how they can help prevent some of the challenges these turtles face.
As adults, we are kind of beyond hope. Our brain is no longer plastic. We can't really learn new things. But children have the power to really internalize all these things that they're learning, that they're seeing. They make these habits part of their life. They make decisions based on, is it good for the environment, alongside with economic value for money kind of decisions. And this is what we want to cultivate.
The children also get a chance to form bonds with the hawksbill turtles. Some of them have even named the one they are going to release. That's why life experts with the conservation program say only 1% of every 1,000 hatchlings make it to adulthood.
Poaching, climate change, fishing nets and marine pollution have all contributed to the dwindling numbers of the species. The program was launched roughly a decade ago and has released 30,000 hatchlings into the sea in the last 5 years. Experts are optimistic about the success of the program.
The more scientists make progress in space exploration, the more they get persuaded to delve into the mysteries of the universe. Now, the release of stunning full-color images from deep in the cosmos has put astronomers on the edge of their seats. NASA has unveiled high-resolution pictures from its James Webb telescope, which is the largest space-based observatory ever launched. The images took 2 weeks to render from raw telescope data. The $9 billion infrared James Webb was launched on Christmas in 2021. It reached its destination in solar orbit nearly 1 million miles from Earth a month later. Then the telescope underwent months-long process to unfurl all of its components. James Webb is now finely tuned and fully focused. The telescope is expected to shed light on the life cycles on planets of planets and galaxies.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about Satan in the view of Islam. Please be with us.
Mm-hmm.
so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark, I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and further away from you. I thank you with every breath I take.
Today, Sunday, is the 24th of Zilhijjah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of the month of Mordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 24th of July, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of this program, today's special, by recitation of Chapter Al-Baqarah, Verse 34.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين.
And mention when we said to the angels, prostrate before Adam. So they prostrated, except for Iblis. He refused and was arrogant and became of the disbelievers.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy
Quran. It should be noted that this verse, Verse 34 of chapter 2nd, is the most valid piece of evidence and a vivid witness to the magnificence and nobility of man whom, after his being created, all the angels were commissioned to make obeisance and pay homage to and bow before that splendid creation. According to the verses of the Holy Quran, Iblis was not the same nature as the angels, but he was from a different genius, that is, of the jinn, of the nature of matter, who had been assembled among the angels. Satan as man's sworn enemy. Satan is what he is because he's jealous of mankind. He does not accept Allah's decrees concerning them or him. He can't stand them and wants to destroy as many of them as possible. Accepting man as Allah's wise gerent on earth and as an honorable being preferred over much of what Allah had created was not compatible with Satan's delusions and self-absorption. Satan knows that these actions warrant him an eternal punishment in the hell, but as long as he fills it with multitudes of people as well who will share with him his fate, he's fine. Allah thus reminds men, verily Satan is an enemy to you. It is in chapter Al-Fatir, verse 6.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bayna sta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with studying various ways of satanic temptations. Now we find that the name of Satan, as indicated in this Quranic verse, is Iblis. And elsewhere in the Holy Quran, we find that Satan, and in Arabic, Shaitan, are indicated in the Holy Quran. So at least there are at least two names of the Satan as expressed and indicated in the Holy Quran are available. One of them is Iblis and another one is Shaitan. Well, both of them refer to one and the same personality or one and the same entity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicated it in the Holy Quran that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Satan about what was the reasons of his not prostrating himself against in favor of Adam, Satan answered in this way, "Ana khayrun min," I am better than him. That is, I mean, Satan expressed that he was better than Adam. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن تِينٍ. You created me from fire and created him, that is Adam, from mud. And elsewhere in the Holy Quran, Satan expresses in this way, أَسْجُدُ لِمَنْ خَلَقْتَ تِينَ. Do you expect me to prostrate myself in favor and before another being whom you created from mud or clay?
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light. Be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Again, as the previous episode of today's special, we look at some strategies of Satan. One of the best strategies of Satan is loving this world too much. So brothers and sisters, take care. Loving this world and life will make us forget our main purpose in this world. That is to worship and obey Allah. And once you forget that, well, that's exactly what the enemy wants, right? The other strategy is never remembering death. This one is similar to the first one. It's important to think about death. When we remember death, we will realize how temporary this life is. Thinking about it also makes us patient in the hardship of this life. So when a person rarely ever thinks about death, his or her heart becomes hardened and his or her love for this world grows every day, something which will definitely make the Satan happy.
Ya Rabbi, 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 Ya Rabbi.
On the continuation of today's special, we'll learn more to defeat Satan. So that's a question, how to defeat Satan? Remember Allah at every available moment and ask Allah to help you against the enemy. The remembrance of Allah represses the Satan. It puts him in distress and inflicts injuries upon him like the injuries whips and clean inflict when used. This is why the Satan of the believer becomes weak and frail. This is because every time the Satan interferes with him, the believer releases upon him his whips of remembrance, of turning towards Allah, of seeking forgiveness and obedience, and he will be successful. Thus, his Satan will be in severe state of punishment. On the other hand, the Satan of the evildoer gets a lot stronger and arrogant due to him being in a state of leisure and gentleness. So, whoever doesn't punish their Satan in this world with his remembrance of Allah, his monotheism, his seeking forgiveness, and his obedience towards Allah, then they will be punished by their Satan with a blazing fire in the hereafter. So there is no escape from whether you punish your Satan or get punished by him.
The encounter of the prophets with Shaitan. The Holy Bible speaks of many encounters of Satan and prophets. But amongst the most interesting encounters of prophets with Satan within the Holy Bible, which is also recorded within the Holy Quran, is the encounter of the prophet Job or Ya'qub or Ayyub and Shaitan. Ayyub was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that would constantly glorify Allah. He would thank Allah. He was constantly pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has offered to him. Shaitan says, "Oh Allah, the reason why he is so pleased and the reason why he is so happy and constantly remembering you is because you have given him everything. You have given him children. You have given him wealth. You have appointed him as a prophet. You have given him dignity. You have given him honor. What else could he ask for?" So Allah allowed Shaytan to test Ayyub, just like Shaytan is allowed to test every other human being. However, the prophets and the infallible and the believing men and women, the more their level of iman is higher, the greater the level of iman, the greater the test. So, Shaitan, and a long story that you've probably all heard, takes away his children, takes away his wealth, takes away his properties, takes away everything, including his health. His health. He was a healthy man. Now his body is full of diseases, illnesses, pain. He had a wife, an honorable wife, a believing wife. They became so poor that she actually had to go and sell her hair. Sell her hair in order to buy a loaf of bread and to bring it to the Prophet of Allah, Ayyub. And Ayyub kept telling her to thank Allah, to glorify Allah, to remain patient. Until this test was removed.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you so much for joining us. That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic, that is the difference between Satan and Iblis and the concept of both of them. So we meet you soon. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time. And fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi. محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.